from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Do you have any Cowboys optimism, and how would you rank the top 10 most important Cowboys for the upcoming season? Hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation, Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman, and you. Thank you for turning it on and leaving it on with us, and shout out to the General Gavin Dawson on vacation with the family in Oregon. He will be back next week. Looks like he's been having a great time. Big news today, though, NHL and NBA free agency Mavs agreeing to a deal with former Warriors standout Klay Thompson as part of a sign and trade. Klay Thompson getting a 3-year, $50 million deal. Josh Green will be going to the Charlotte Hornets as part of the trade package. So Klay Thompson, your newest Dallas Maverick, and the Dallas Stars have re-signed their forward Matt Duchene to a 1-year, $3 million deal, among some other moves as well. They added defenseman Matt Dumba, who you probably remember from that hit in the postseason 2 years ago when they were playing the Minnesota Wild on Joe Pavelski. So tons happening in NBA and NHL free agency. We'll continue to talk about that throughout the show. Stars also lost Yanni Hakanpaa, their defenseman, along with Chris Tanev to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But in a weird move, they decided to bring back Nils Lundqvist to a 1-year, $1.25 million deal. That one's a bit gross. We will talk with Rangers GM Chris Young coming up here in about 15 minutes. So looking forward to that after Wyatt Langford hitting for the cycle. Shout out to him and Josh Smith, named co-winners of the Texas Rangers Player of the Month Award. But gentlemen, when it comes to ranking the most important players on the roster, our buddy John Machota, he did this on The Athletic. I wonder if you agree with his 10 rankings as we are closer and closer to going to Oxnard for Cowboys training camp. At number 10, he said the last spot was unquestionably the toughest. This could have been Brandon Cooks or DeMarvian Overshown or maybe Zeke or Brandon Aubrey. But Jalen Tolbert is number 10. He made some strides last year, but they need even more in year 3. He's the front runner to be Dallas's number 3 wide receiver. Whoever fills that role, whether it's Tolbert, Turpin, Jalen Brooks, or Ryan Flournoy, they need more production than they received from Michael Gallup in 2023. Brian Broaddus, I ask you, Jalen Tolbert will be this team's wide receiver 3 when we leave training camp in Oxnard. What say you?
I'd say no. I don't think so.
I agree. I think it's going to be Jalen Brooks.
I think Jalen Brooks. I think what you have to be able to do as a wide receiver when we're out there watching practice, it's tough. You run all day. Defensive backs run all day. And it doesn't stop. You're going to get sore. You're going to get tired. You're going to make mistakes. You got a veteran quarterback that expects a lot of you, and he's going to get on you, and so you're going to get a little down. You're going to get a little depressed. You might have 3 really good days in a row, and then all of a sudden you have 2 really bad days. I think Jalen Brooks is really mentally tough to handle this. And so I'm thinking that Jalen Brooks is going to win the job from Tolbert just on mental toughness and I think a little bit better ability.
Yeah, I think Jalen Brooks made the most of any opportunity he got last year.
Yeah.
And you know he's a special team stud. Now, they might just want Tolbert. I know they want Tolbert to win this job. They put a third-round pick on him. But I do think Brooks is going to end up being a better player.
They've got a couple of players that have a lot of pressure on with high picks. I mean, you could throw in the Mozzie Smith. You could throw in Schoonmaker. Sure. You could throw. You're talking about Tolbert as a third-round pick. How about Sam Williams as a second-round pick?
Absolutely.
They've got some second- and third-round picks that really need to step up for them.
Yeah, I think the wide receiver three discussion is probably – my guess is it ends up being more by committee. I think you'll see a bit of a rotation of all of these guys. I don't know that any one of them is going to just take the position by the shirt collar and say, you're mine. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Turpin to get mixed in there. Jalen Brooks, Flournoy, maybe. But between Tolbert, Brooks, and Turpin, I think you're going to see sort of a revolving door of those guys in and out of the lineup. That'd be my guess. I don't think any one of those guys is a surefire lock.
No, so they're going to have to earn that thing. Number nine is Jake Ferguson. I think you could argue he should be higher on this when it comes to importance.
I feel like that Jake Ferguson is your second best offensive weapon.
Agreed.
I think that's a done deal, yeah. I mean, I think he earned that last year.
And all of a sudden, and I don't expect CeeDee Lamb to sit out the whole entire season, but all of a sudden if it turns into, I'm not going to play, I'm going to make a point, then all of a sudden now it turns into – you're talking Jake Ferguson becomes even more important.
He's your top receiver.
Yeah. He's basically your top receiver.
That's absolutely right. Lamb were to not be in the lineup, for sure. And obviously Lamb is going to, they're going to end up getting that deal done. He'll get the money that he wants. We'll see how long into camp that takes. But if he misses, I mean, at what point do you start to worry about CeeDee Lamb's productivity and soft tissue injuries of him being out? Like a week of camp maybe doesn't bug you. If it's 2 weeks into camp, I don't know. I just wonder that type of position running around, you can easily, you didn't have training camp and now you're dealing with hamstring issues or whatever.
I don't worry about him being ready though myself.
I do think he's unique that way.
He's constantly working.
Yeah, but he's not gonna sit there and be sitting next to me. And
I'm not as worried about the soft tissue stuff with CD as I would be about others.
But it's a legitimate concern.
Anytime you're not there and you're not, practicing with the pads on, getting into football shape, you're gonna have that question. It can happen to anybody. But I think Ferguson's about to put himself on that top tight end stratosphere. I was thinking him and Sam Laporta.
I was thinking
as the next guys.
Importance, maybe top four.
Yeah, I think, yes. Nine, I think, is a little low for him.
Yeah.
Number eight, DeMarcus Lawrence. And Machota wrote, this came down to Lawrence and Sam Williams. With Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler gone, Williams needs to step up. He'll get plenty of opportunities as the Cowboys' third edge rusher behind Parsons and Lawrence. But Lawrence gets the nod here because he remains one of the better edge defenders in the league. As long as he and Parsons stay healthy, Dallas should continue creating enough havoc up front for Mike Zimmer's defense to have success. Might also be the last season for Tank in a Cowboys uniform.
Agreed.
He had a really good year last year.
Yep.
I mean, he's just been a model of consistency. I mean, fans soured on him based on the low sack numbers and the contract he got. But in terms of just being a complete all-around end, he's every year probably your best run defender.
He's the one that plays with the most instinct.
Absolutely.
If you watch him, it'd be a Philadelphia game, it'll be a 4th-and-1, and all of a sudden he goes sliding down inside and Lane Johnson can't cut him off, and now it's a -2 and the Dallas ball going the other way.
I love when he slips under the tackle and makes a stop for three yards in the back.
Goal line inside the 2, three. He gambles and he knows how to read the snap count and make it across the line of scrimmage and not be blocked.
Okay, for importance then, DeMarcus Lawrence and Jake Ferguson.
I like Ferguson.
I'd probably go Fergie as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Trayvon Diggs at 7, coming back from a season-ending knee injury. Will he immediately return to the player he was before?
Probably not.
If not, Dallas could be in trouble on the back end. To be at their best, they need Diggs and Bland playing at a high level.
I think Diggs needs to have a good, really, 3 weeks here before we go to Oxnard. I'm hoping that he gets to be out on the field much earlier in the camp than maybe what I think he might be.
Yeah.
I don't need him standing over there next to us with Britt Brown,
I'm wondering how much he's going to do at camp.
I do too.
I mean, I think he's going to be good to go come week 1, but I don't know how much we're going to see him at pads at camp. We'll see.
I agree.
Mozzie Smith at number 6. Defensive tackle position, huge area of concern. This group needs to be better. Depth chart looks weaker. Osa, you got, but the obvious answer to the issues would be a breakout season from Mozzie. Problem is he hasn't shown any reason to think that type of year is coming. Arguably the best thing that could have come out of Cowboys camp in the preseason is Smith looking every bit the player he was drafted to be in the first round. I mean, if he can just be able to take on blocks and defend the run, that's really all I'm looking at. I don't care about getting him up the field, rushing the quarterback, and showing more pass rush ability than we saw at Michigan. If he develops that, awesome. At least do what you were drafted to be, and that's a true one tech.
Mm-hmm.
That I can allow you to man the middle of the defense, try free up room for my linebackers, make life a little bit easier for Osa next to you. You know, just be somebody I can rely on. Just take that next step to just be a serviceable NFL player.
Yeah, yeah, just be a first and second down player. That's all we're looking for here. If it's not him, who is it? I mean, who's even, what names do you throw
Justin
out?
Justin Rogers, after, the seventh round pick from Auburn.
I mean,
it's not Carl Davis.
The Hankins, the loss of Hankins might be huge for this team. Hankins was your safety net, and I don't think you have a safety net at one technique right now.
So I just don't. Do you guys agree then, Mozzie,
right,
at 6 years, sixth most important player on the roster? Because I can understand that.
You have nobody there. First round, and especially that position might be the weakest in the entire roster.
Justin Rogers, I think, is a good player. He's a rookie player. I mean, and if he could come in and give you something, that high-level play that he gave you at Auburn, that would be a huge plus. But, you know, you're counting on that, and you just don't know right now. But, yeah, they do not have a safety net at one technique right
Scary.
Now. They just don't.
Eric Kendricks comes in at 5, of course, high on the list because Zimmer's taken over. Mm-hmm. Kendricks will be working in a system he's familiar with. And certainly, hopefully, he adds that to everybody else on that defense. I mean, linebacker was one of our biggest concerns coming out of the season, so you need Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say, I mean, Mozzie Smith might be more. I mean, it's kind of like if Mozzie Smith is dominant, you can bet Eric Kendricks probably is too.
Tyler Guyton, number four.
Cristiano Ronaldo just missed a penalty kick.
He's had a really bad game.
They're into extra time.
Oh, my gosh. Minute 105?
Well, actually, it's 105 minutes so far.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Minute 105.
Yeah, but Cristiano Ronaldo usually is burying kicks. And here we are in extra time, Portugal in the knockout round. What a save.
Mm. Guyton at 4. I mean, heck, you're starting left tackle. That's someone you definitely are going to need to step up. That's high importance.
That might be top two.
Yeah.
I agree, dude.
So, all right, are you putting Tyler over any of these three? CeeDee Lamb's number 3.
All right.
Without CeeDee, I don't know that you have anybody that can really produce at receiver. I mean, I like Brandon Cooks a lot, mm-hmm. but I think at this stage of his career, Brandon Cooks is clearly a 2.
So is this going to be Micah Dak?
Micah Dak, 2-1.
Yeah. Micah Dak.
I mean, obviously, your quarterback's always going to be the most important. Micah is your best defensive player.
Man, I would, me personally... I kind of feel like it's going to be, me personally, I would go Dak 1, Lamb 2, Guyton 3, Micah 4.
I think I probably would as well.
I might even go Mozzie 4, Micah 5.
Mm.
After what we just talked about, you don't have anybody. And I think Sam Williams should be on this list. I would have put Sam in there over Tolbert, over Tank, you know, because I think you know what Tank's going to give you.
Right.
Tank's consistent year in and year out. I can pretty much pencil in what I'm going to get from DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
Sam Williams, I mean, this is a big – I see what the Cowboys are doing. We have put premium picks into some of these players.
Yeah.
It's time for you to step up. Mozzie, we spent a first-round pick on you. Yeah, we're going to let Jonathan Hankins walk. You need to step up and perform. Second-rounder, Sam Williams, year 3, yeah, it's time for you to be my number 3 pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Scooney, tight end 2, yeah, I spent a second-round pick on you, bud. Jalen Tolbert, third-round pick on you. Let's go, boys.
Yeah.
Or else then, we just misevaluated.
Yeah, and Dak, you're on a make it or break it contract year. Same with the head coach. So it's across the board, man.
No doubt. All right, let's talk with Rangers general manager Chris Young. CY Show next year in the G-Bag Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Texas Rangers General Manager Chris Young set to join us here in the G-Bag Nation. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact Frankel and Frankel for a free consultation at 214-333-3333 or go to truckwreck.com. And now, courtesy of PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch, we have Rangers General Manager Chris Young with us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. CY, thanks so much for the time, as always. Tough road trip there, but ends on a high note last night. What are your takeaways from the last two series?
Well, it certainly it was a tough road trip, and very disappointed to come home. 1-6 on the trip. I did feel like we were in the majority of the games, and really with a couple breaks here or there, really could have come away from that trip 4-3. And instead, we come away with a 1-6 trip, and it was disappointing for everybody. That said, we did finish on a high note, and what I'd like to see is we have an off day today. Hopefully, we can regroup and come out and really start playing our best baseball this homestand, because we're at a point in the season where we have to see it start to happen.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the high note, it was pretty amazing what Wyatt Langford did with that cycle. How special was that? Really, that entire month of June for him was incredible.
Yeah, Wyatt, it really speaks to the aptitude the player has and just all the adjustments that he's made. I mean, he had a tremendous spring training, got off to a little bit of a slow start, had the hamstring injury, and was able to take a breather and reset some things, both mentally and mechanically, and physically as well. And he came back and just had a tremendous June. He continues to get better and better. And I really believe he's just scratching the surface of what he's capable of. But last night on Sunday Night Baseball was pretty special. I was so happy for him, happy for all of our guys. It was fun to see the guys celebrate Wyatt, excited for him. I think everybody recognized how special that was. And hopefully it's something that we can build on.
Adolis certainly had a stronger road trip as well. Does it seem like he's starting to turn things around at the plate?
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt the bat quality has improved, and we've seen him mechanically fix a couple things, and his approach has been very, very good. He had some bad luck as well. There were some hard hit balls right at guys on the trip, but he had really, really solid at bats, and it was exciting to see the progress he's made. He's such a competitor. He's such a worker. If we can get Dolly going and we have Wyatt going and you get a couple of these other guys going, you know, I love our offense. I love what we're capable of, but obviously it's been a slow start to the season, a slow first half of the season. So really excited about the progress Adolis made, and I'm really hopeful it continues.
Chris, you mentioned the road trip and then in Baltimore, the four games. And other than the first game, the other three games, as a general manager, do you evaluate where your team is at? With Baltimore being one of the better teams in baseball, do you feel like, okay, we're a little bit closer to where we need to be? I know you didn't get the wins and stuff, but do you kind of feel like your roster is like, okay, if I have to, when I play these guys here in a couple weeks after the All-Star break, maybe we could be a little bit different here?
Yeah, that's the frustrating part of our record, is because I don't think it reflects really the talent level of this team. I mean, I believe this team and this roster is capable of really making a strong playoff push and being one of the better teams in baseball. And we have yet to do that. We have not played our best baseball for a number of reasons, whether it's been injury related, performance related, or just timing, that we haven't aligned, our hot streak with the pitching, the hitting, the bullpen all going well at once. So I do believe in this group. I know the character of the team. I know how hard these guys work. I know how badly they want it. I know that when their backs have been up against the wall in the past, they have responded. And so I have a lot of faith in this group. That said, it just hasn't aligned thus far in the season. And when you play a team like Baltimore, who is a first-place team or near the top of the standings, one of the better teams in the American League, and we go toe-to-toe with them, and we really could have won three of those four games, it shows you how good this roster is. It shows you how close we are. But we just haven't, for whatever reason, put it together in the manner that we expect. Now, is it too late? No, it's not. But we are reaching a critical point in the season where it needs to start coming together quickly. And, I'm excited about the way we finished last night, and I'm really hopeful and optimistic that we start to play our best baseball, because when we do, this team can go on a tear.
With that belief and how good that we've seen this group of players play together, would that be safe to say, as we get closer to the deadline, that you are not in a place to be sellers?
Well, we're absolutely not committed to that at this point. Obviously, things could change, and the record will dictate that. But right now, I believe in this group, and I believe that we're about to get hot. And we'll see how the next 20, 25 games go as we get into July here, at which point we may be forced to make some critical decisions. But I really believe that our best baseball is ahead of us, and I'm going to do everything I can to continue to pursue the 2024 season and give this team every chance to win.
Is that the worst question we ask, or the hash brown one every week to you?
Hash brown question, I'm not prepared for. I was prepared for that one today. I mean, that's the reality of where we are.
No, I just wonder, as a general manager, obviously you're going to do what's best for your team. Every day you do what's best. You show up every day and do that. Is that a hard question to answer, though, Chris? Is it when someone asks you, hey, are you going to be buyers or sellers? Is that a hard question, or is it something that we're to that point? Is something you have to think about?
It's a really hard question, and the reason it's hard is because I love our group. I love our players. I believe if this was a 300-game season that we would come out on top over the course of that, but it's not. And there's an arbitrary date at which we have to make critical business decisions, and that's the reality of the industry. And it's hard because last year was great in that we played our best baseball coming out of the gates, and we knew we were a really good team and we can compete with anybody. We just haven't seen that yet this year. I know it's in there. I believe in this team, and I know what they're capable of. And I told them as much. I told them that on the road last week in Baltimore, and I want to see this team get hot together. But the reality is that at a certain point in the season, you have to make decisions about the future of the team and the season. And that's the part that stinks about the job. But it's the reality of it. And that's why I get paid what I do to make those decisions.
It's the CY Show, brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch here in the G-Bag Nation. Tyler Mahle being designated there for the rehab assignment. What's the timeline for him? What would you like to see from him before you get him up with the big boys?
Well, it's one start at a time. I mean, he's recovered very well. He's passed all the tests thus far, and we'll send him out on rehab and take it one start at a time. And with these rehabs, they're normally not linear in terms of the progress you make. Some days you have, a couple good outings or a good outing followed by a subpar one, and you think you've gone backwards, and all of a sudden you look up and you've pushed through that next wall or barrier as you build up your arm strength. So Tyler's got a little ways to go here, but he, like I said, he's done a tremendous job. He works so hard. He's such a great guy. And I know it's just a matter of time till he gets back, but do we expect this to go 100% perfect according to plan? Probably not. In terms of just the way, he's not going to be midseason form. It's going to take some time. He's been out of the game for a while rehabbing, but we know that these are the necessary steps you have to go through, the bumps in the road, to get back to full strength. And we expect Tyler to do as well as possible in terms of getting back. And, what that timeline will be, I can't say, but the next month is going to be fun to follow him.
How's Corey feeling, and are there any updates to Josh Young's timeline?
Yeah. Yeah, with Corey, we got good news today. Corey underwent an MRI this morning, and it did not reveal any further damage, which confirmed what we saw in the X-ray. Sometimes the X-rays give you, an okay view, and then the MRI shows something different. In this case, they align. So this is going to be hopefully a matter of days for Corey, based on pain and swelling and his ability to kind of return without pain. So we dodged a bullet on that. With Josh, we're still evaluating. Obviously, he worked super hard to get back. Was playing in rehab games because his strength was not fully built up, and it wasn't possible to build it up. I mean, part of that is just the rehab timeline, but it redistributed some of the pressure from the surgical spot a little bit up into his wrist and irritated a tendon there. And that tendon has not calmed down completely to the level that we feel comfortable sending him back out or resuming baseball activities. So our hope is that within a couple days, he turns a corner here. We took the weekend off from baseball activity. We hope it turns a corner here. I can't predict the timeline. We desperately need him. We're excited that he's close to being back. I don't think he'll need much more time on rehab once that thing calms down, but we're not there yet.
Chris, is it hard to protect these guys from themselves when it comes to working out? I mean, I know that in watching like Dak Prescott coming back from his injury, and they just work so hard with the trainers and to try and get back and rehab. Is it one of those things you almost have to like, you're happy they're working hard, but you're like, you're almost having to protect themselves from working too hard at it?
No, it's 100% right. I mean, I always say these guys are just the best of the best, and they're successful not because of their talent level, but because of their drive and their work ethic right. and their commitment and their toughness. And sometimes that it cuts both ways. And I experienced that in my career too. I wasn't talented enough to really stick in the big leagues without an elite work ethic. And sometimes whether it was the work ethic or really a high threshold for pain, I made my body worse at times because I pushed through things where I should have backed off. And so we have to really thread that needle of you know, allowing the athlete the freedom to be able to dictate what their level is to perform, but also stepping in when we feel like it's crossing a line that's going to be past the point of diminishing return. And that's a really hard thing to do. And, you know, we also joke in our scouting department that there's this a sixth tool that a lot of these athletes have, which is called delusion.
Yeah.
And they think that they can fight through anything or persevere through anything. And sometimes they lose sight of how hard the game is when you're healthy, much less when you're hurt. So it is our job to kind of step in from time to time and protect them from themselves. But I'll tell you this. I said this last year about our group. It was the most professional, hardworking group I've ever been around in my career. And I feel the same about this group. It's just amazing the focus and dedication and the work ethic that these guys have top to bottom. And it's what makes them great. It also at times is where we have to kind of manage it.
Rangers GM Chris Young with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I mean, Wyatt Langford's the headliner after last night's game. Derek Hill as well. But, I mean, my goodness, how about the defensive prowess of Josh Smith? That play last night in the bottom of the fifth, that thing was nasty. We got to get this guy in the All-Star game, CY.
Look, I think he's deserving as anybody. Josh has had a tremendous first half. It's been so fun to watch him. We didn't know what to expect coming into spring training. We knew he'd likely be on the team. We didn't know the role that he would have. We thought probably more of a utility role. Getting, you know, playing 2 to 3, maybe 4 days a week. And instead he stepped in, he's been an everyday player. He's been our most productive offensive player in the first half. And he's tough as nails. I mean, if you guys watch the game, he's a smaller guy, but he really plays so hard and so tough. He gets hit, feels like once a game, if not every other at bat.
He sure does.
Yet he takes his base and he just goes out and grinds. And he is really, really, he embodies, what we want in all of our players. And, he's as deserving as anybody. I would love to see him get in the game.
Hey, CY, it's that LSU kid. You need more of them on your roster. You know what I'm saying? Just go down to Baton Rouge and sign them all up, you know? And then you won't have to worry about your team anymore, right?
Those LSU guys have had a pretty good track record.
They're so ready.
They do.
Well, CY, we got the 4th of July coming up this week, and you've got a home game. And to me, growing up, I was always watching The Sandlot, and they've got the scene where the fireworks are allowing them just enough light to be able to play. And baseball, to me, and the 4th of July just kind of go hand in hand. How special was it for you to maybe get to play on the 4th of July, but just in general getting to play that day?
Yeah, it really is. And it's one of the things as baseball players, you get very few off days during the course of the season. And really, you play every holiday, because when fans have holidays and are off, that means that they can come to our games, and it's our job to entertain. And so I did. I remember a couple 4th of July starts that I had, and it was really special. It's a fun environment. It's a fun atmosphere. And my hope is that for all the Ranger fans that come out to see us, that we give them a great 4th of July and a win, and that this team gets rolling here.
Hey, CY, I was watching Lorenzen pitch the other day in Baltimore. Did his jersey looked like it weighed about 30 pounds, like with the sweat. I just wondered as a player, and you know, is it something as a pitcher, do they often change? I mean, I know you change your undershirts probably, but do you ever change your top when you're in those kinds of late season, mid-season games?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple jerseys ready on those hot, humid days, whether I was fishing in Texas or Kansas City. I mean, I think the most I ever went through in a game was 3.
Yeah.
But those, you know, and I saw the same thing. I mean, his jersey, it was almost a different shade.
It was,
gray,
yeah.
His pants, because he was so saturated. And, you know, maybe the technology's gotten so good with this moisture-wicking fiber that it absorbs all the moisture off your body. But, you know, Michael, he did a really good job. That was a frustrating loss because there was really, it was one bad pitch
Kjærstad
hit out. And you know, we hit a couple line drives right at guys, including off Kimbrel in the 9th, and just a frustrating way to lose the game when we kind of outplayed them, but they came through with a big hit and we didn't. So that's baseball, and that's why you play so many games. But I hated for our guys who are really pressing right now and wanting so badly to turn this thing, and they're capable of it, to lose you know, a couple close one-run games in Baltimore to a really good team. Yeah. You know, I think, as you said earlier, it gave us an idea of where we are. It also shows us that it's the little things that matter, and we got to find a way just to be a little bit better. And if we do that, we'll start beating a lot of teams. But you know, Michael did a great job the other night, despite the heat, humidity, and the sweat in his jersey.
Right.
Hey, you're home for July 4th. I got Chris Young, Pizza Dog, Collision Course, doing it, you know, like a true American patriot that you are. It's going to be fantastic. Go get him this week. We're pulling for you. We look forward to next week and our conversation. Thank you, CY.
Guys, thanks so much. I will talk to you next week. Have a great holiday, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
There he goes. The CY Show, brought to you by PlayScore and Anheuser-Busch, right here on your home of the world champion, Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. We got football's finest at the top of the hour, but a 440 edition of the top 10 list of the day, brought to you by the Woolly Bully.
Top 10 foods on a stick. What's the best food on a stick? And welcome to the SEC next. Thank you, Lucius. Portugal has advanced in PKs to the quarterfinal as they defeat Slovenia 3-0 in penalty kicks. They're going to face France on Friday. That's going to be a hell of a match right there. Portugal against France. Excited for that. Right now, let's get into the Woolly Bully Top 10, shall we? 877-881-1053. It is summer. We've got the 4th of July rolling around. I was like, man, what are top 10 foods on a stick? What's the best food on a stick? I do have to say congratulations and welcome. SMU officially is in the ACC today as of July 1st, and Texas and Oklahoma have joined you, Brian Broaddus, in the SEC.
Last night, young Bennett Broaddus was part of the festivities at the...
It was a pretty cool party that they threw yesterday.
Yeah, they threw a heck of a party. Greg Stanky, the commissioner of the SEC.
Greg Stanky?
Stanky?
The Stanky man.
Is it Sank?
It's Sanky, but Stanky. I like Greg Stanky.
I didn't say Stanky. I said Sanky, didn't I?
I thought you said Stanky.
I heard it Sanky, but...
I was trying to say Sankey.
It's because you've been watching all those stank of
do the stank
highlights.
Yeah, but young Bennett was he was on the stage firing the Smokey the Cannon for their
oh hell yeah
yeah. So he got it was fun. He said he got to hang out with some pretty good dignitaries and stuff like
that's awesome.
Pitbull was in the crowd. Pitbull was there hanging out.
Dude.
Yeah,
hey, it ain't a party like, if Pitbull ain't
so,
there. Are you kidding?
He got to fire Smokey the Cannon last night. So. Yeah, quite a deal having all those teams now move all around the country, right? Not move, but move to new conferences.
Well, the SEC, of course, is the Longhorns' newest home. Now, they had to go ahead and troll the Big 12 one more time. So the Big 12 apparently has boasted a notable presence in New York City, marketing its own teams, visitors of the city on the grandest stage. They'll go up there like at the Garden and also in Times Square. So Texas bought out an ad at Times Square that just had the Horns logo, SEC, and then the big T for Texas. Just say, hey, Bye-bye, Big 12. Yeah. We're now in the SEC. Oklahoma's already made adjustments to their stadium. They've got all of the SEC flags that are hanging, a big SEC logo that's now at their entrance through the glass windows there. Pretty cool. We've known about this now for a couple of years, but it's officially here.
Well, how about like SMU joining the ACC?
SMU's had a party today.
I'm kind of looking forward to maybe going out to watch a little basketball when some of those Dukes and North Carolinas come rolling through the town, you know?
Definitely.
They get a Clemson over here, go evaluate some of this college talent.
Maybe some
talent.
Good football, too. You got some Florida State.
No doubt.
Does Notre Dame part of that?
Not yet.
Notre Dame plays football in that conference.
I think they're basketball in that conference.
I think they play football. Remember, we've seen some Florida State, Clemson games.
They're still independent, though.
Yeah, those are football
schedule. But they play
some of those teams.
ACC schools.
Yeah, sure. And Big Ten schools.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. But they haven't actually joined a conference yet, but they need to.
No, I know, but I mean, I was wondering if they were going to.
Maybe we get Notre Dame SMU.
That's what I'm saying.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be really cool to see. All right, let's slide into the top 10 foods on a stick.
Ooh, it's a good one, won't you?
I think, like, for me, I don't know about you guys, I always think corn dog.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna tee us up, like, we could all just say at the same time what it
would
is. I think it's corn dog for me. You going
right,
corn,
Brian,
dog?
Corn dog?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right, but I was trying to think of something even better than a...
good luck finding something.
The sausage on a stick at Texas Stadium back in the day was pretty good.
Sausage on a stick is good. I mean...
You didn't like it?
No, I'm thinking of, like...
Shish kebabs.
This like,
yes, you took mine. That's mine. The shish kebabs.
The shish kebabs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're perfect for the pool time, bro.
Dude, they're yes.
Oh and, my god.
You can put a lot of things on there, yeah. Like whether you want lamb, do you want steak, do I want chicken, shrimp,
shrimps, veggie. Yep. That's all of that, man. I love those.
It's loaded.
And I never make them. There's always a guy at the pool that's making them for everybody. Uh-huh. Shout out to that man. You are the MVP, sir.
Hell yeah.
What a stud.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Absolutely.
I was just thinking of ice cream on a stick, though, too.
Ice cream is.
Like a
ice
popsicle?
A hell of a stick.
I mean, not talking like a Nestle Crunch bar on the stick.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, I'll put a stick in one of like those Snickers ice cream bars and party it up, and that'll be my one.
Oh, like
seed.
A Dilly bar.
Dilly
bar. It's like the small stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the Dilly bar. Is that the messiest? I always, the parts of it always chip off and get on my shirt.
Mm-hmm. Like little chocolate pieces?
Yeah, I'm like, and it just it kind of breaks
right
off and it get and then it melts onto your shirt. And you're like, oh, that looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
You look like Wolchuk wearing his Korean barbecue all over himself.
That was amazing.
That's impressive.
That we got to go back to that place and see if
I think
he can.
We're staying pretty close to it.
Yeah, and see if he can, in fact, keep like the sticky ribs off his shirt.
Challenge accepted.
Web redemption.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
The bully.
That sounds good to me. The honorable mentions are cake pops.
Cake pops
are
pretty good.
They are pretty good. Yeah.
Cake pops are good. Churros.
See, I don't think I've ever had a churro.
Okay, but they're not on
they're
a
not
stick.
Always on a stick. Sometimes they are on a stick. It's easier if they are on a stick. It's less messy on the hands.
That's fair. Usually I think I get it like it's like kind of in a like one of those
like
paper bag things.
Yeah. But it is easier if it's on a stick. And then like a shrimp skewer, honorable mention as well. Number 10 is cotton candy.
That's
kids, right?
I could do without that. Cotton candy.
I don't ever seek out cotton candy.
You're a grown man.
Yeah, you got about 3 bites with it as an adult, and you're like, man, this is goofy.
Why do I feel like they've given up on the stick and put it in the bag?
You can't get it in a bag, too.
I feel like that people are like, we're not putting it on the paper stick.
They're cheap.
We're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to put it in the bag, and you can buy it that
way.
When
you have the actual cotton candy machine, and you get the stick
you
in
have
there,
to, yeah,
and you twirl
and you
it around, that's like the OG one.
Yeah,
right
it's fun.
Number 9 is
thinking of Bloody Mary with all that stuff on a stick.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Yeah, that would be good too. Yeah. Dude, people are doing crazy stuff with those Bloody
Marys. I'll
tell
you what, Bloody Marys, you could put bacon on that thing. You could load that
shrimps.
Thing up.
I mean, they're
you
doing
load
nuts
it up.
Things.
Yeah.
Fruit skewers, number 9.
Oh,
you can do some chocolate
skewer
on there too.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Chico stick.
Oh, a chicken stick?
Chico stick. You never heard of a Chico stick?
It's a Chico stick.
Oh, yeah. It's an old school candy, bro.
I was gonna say, I have heard of that.
Is that like the pixie stick? Is that with you tear the paper and do that?
No, it's like the, it's kind of peanut buttery. It's like the inside of a,
Yeah,
like a nut bar of sorts.
What is that thing that Bart Simpson likes to eat all the time? What is this candy bar?
I can't help you.
I wish I had.
It's like the orange. They're orange, though.
Yeah.
Butterfinger?
Yeah, they're like Butterfingers. Kind of like that. Yeah.
I'm into Butterfingers, man. These look really good.
I'll tell you what, I don't throw away Butterfinger and Halloween. I'm kind of digging that.
I think it's a perfect Halloween candy because it's got the coloring and everything like that. And Reese's, I think, are synonymous.
Grind that bad boy up and put it in some ice cream.
8 would be like corn on a stick.
See, that's what I was thinking of. like street corn on a stick.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
7 caramel apples.
Oh, yeah, 469 texted in the candied apples. They are fire, dude. You almost, I mean, I can't even remember the last time I had one. They're not accessible.
It's too much. It's hard to eat.
It's
too hard to eat, and you get frustrated because you're biting into it, and
you look ridiculous all on the side of your face.
You're chipping teeth.
It is messy.
It's very messy.
You look stupid as an adult eating that.
Yeah, I agree.
You'd rather be caught eating cotton candy.
Stupid.
6 is marshmallows. Roasted marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
Yeah. 5 is like skewered meat. You know, you can get like chicken, beef satay.
I was kind of thinking fondue.
That's good stuff. Ooh, fondue would be delicious. But
you eat it off the skewer.
Yeah, right? That's food on a stick.
Dude, I like the 314, the breakfast sausage dipped in the pancake batter. You know, it's like a corn dog, but it's like a breakfast corn dog.
It's like the Jimmy Dean thing, I think.
Dipping that thing in syrup. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So good. 4 is fudge sickles.
That's what I was kind of thinking of.
Yeah, like an ice
cream. Can't go wrong. Yeah.
3 is popsicles.
I go fudge over pop.
Me too. 2 is the kebabs.
Who's just called that?
The versatility of the kebab, too. Yeah. Like you say kebab, and it's like that could be one of thousands of different things.
You can doll that thing up any way you want.
Put your own spin on.
Yeah. Yep.
But number 1 best food on a stick, according to America, is indeed the corn dog.
The corny dog, baby.
Damn right it is.
Shout out to Fletch.
Thank you very much, Willie Bully.
I'll stand in line for those.
Oh, I will too. Although, don't do it at Texas OU. That one might not work.
You might miss
the whole game.
No, I'm serious. It's terrible.
I tried to get in that line, and it was like, I'm not waiting anymore. I got to get to my seats.
Yeah.
But hey, otherwise, always down for some Fletchers. All right, let's get to the football's finest, shall we?
Yeah, have these questions been answered about the Cowboys' defense? That's next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Portugal has advanced in PKs to the quarterfinal as they defeat Slovenia 3-0 in penalty kicks. They're going to face France on Friday. That's going to be a hell of a match right there. Portugal against France. Excited for that. Right now, let's get into the Woolly Bully Top 10, shall we? 877-881-1053. It is summer. We've got the 4th of July rolling around. I was like, man, top 10 foods on a stick. What's the best food on a stick? I do have to say congratulations and welcome. SMU officially is in the ACC today as of July 1st, and Texas and Oklahoma have joined you, Brian Broaddus, in the SEC.
Last night, young Bennett Broaddus was part of the festivities at
it was a pretty cool party that they threw yesterday.
Yeah, threw a heck of a party. Greg Stanky, the commissioner of the SEC.
Greg Stanky?
Stanky?
The Stanky man.
Is it Sink?
It's Stanky, but Stanky. I like Greg Stanky.
I didn't say Stanky. I said Stanky, didn't I?
I thought you said Stanky.
I heard it Stanky, but...
I was trying to say Stanky.
It's because you've been watching all those Stank of highlights.
Yeah, but young Bennett was he was on the stage firing the Smokey the Cannon for their...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so he got... it was fun. He said he got to hang out with some pretty good dignitaries and stuff. Like,
that's awesome.
Pitbull was in the crowd. Pitbull was there hanging out.
Dude.
Yeah,
hey, it ain't a party if Pitbull ain't there. Are you kidding?
He got to fire Smokey the Cannon last night, so... quite a deal having all those teams now move all around the country, right? Not move, but move to new conferences.
Well, the SEC, of course, is the Longhorns' newest home. Now, they had to go ahead and troll the Big 12 one more time.
Huh.
So the Big 12 apparently has boasted a notable presence in New York City, marketing its own teams, visitors of the city on the grandest stage. They'll go up there like at the Garden and also in Times Square. So Texas bought out an ad at Times Square that just had the Horns logo, SEC, and then the big T for Texas. Just say, hey, bye-bye, Big 12. Yeah. We're now in the SEC. Oklahoma's already made adjustments to their stadium. They've got all of the SEC flags that are hanging, a big SEC logo that's now at their entrance through the glass windows there. Pretty cool. We've known about this now for a couple of years, but it's officially here.
Well, how about... like SMU joining the ACC.
SMU's had a party today.
I'm kind of looking forward to maybe going out to watch a little basketball when some of those Dukes and North Carolinas come rolling through the town, you know?
Definitely.
They get a Clemson over here, go evaluate some of this college
talent.
Maybe
some good football, too. You got some Florida State.
No doubt.
Does Notre Dame part of that?
Not yet.
Notre Dame plays football in that conference.
I think they're... basketball in that conference.
I think they play football. Remember, we've seen some Florida State, Clemson games.
They're still independent, though.
Yeah, those are football schedule.
But they play
some of those teams.
ACC schools.
Yeah, sure. And Big Ten schools.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. But they haven't actually joined a conference yet, but they need to.
No, I know, but I mean, I was wondering if they were going to
Maybe we get Notre Dame SMU.
That's what
I'm
saying.
That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be really cool to see. All right, let's slide into the top 10 foods on a stick.
Ooh, it's a good one, won't you?
I think, like, for me, I don't know about you guys, I always think corn dog.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna tee us up. Like, we could all just say at the same time what it
would
is.
That have been,
I think it's corn dog for me. You going
Brian,
dog?
Corn dog?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right, but I was trying to think of something even better than a...
good luck finding something
the sausage on a stick at Texas Stadium back in the day was pretty good.
Sausage on a stick is good. I mean...
You didn't like it?
No, I'm thinking of, like...
Shish kebabs.
This like
yes, you took mine. That's mine. The shish kebabs.
The shish kebabs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're perfect for the pool time, bro.
Dude, they're yes.
Oh and, my god.
You
gosh.
Can put a lot of things on there, yeah. Like whether you want lamb, do you want steak, do yes. I want chicken, shrimp,
shrimps, veggie. Yep. Yeah. That's all of that, man. I love those.
It's loaded.
And I never make them. There's always a guy at the pool that's making them for everybody. Uh-huh. Shout out to that man. You are the MVP, sir.
Hell yeah.
What a stud.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Absolutely.
I was just thinking of ice cream on a stick, though, too.
Yeah, ice cream is. Like a ice popsicle. Cream's a hell of a stick. I
mean, not talking like a Nestle Crunch bar on, yeah. on the stick.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, I'll put a stick in one of like those Snickers like ice cream bars and party it up, and that'll be my one.
Oh, like
seed.
A Dilly bar.
Dilly.
A Dilly yeah. bar. It's like the small stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Dilly bar. Is that the messiest? I always the parts of it always chip off and get on my shirt,
mm-hmm. like little chocolate pieces.
Yeah, I'm like, and it just they it kind of breaks right off, and it get and then it melts onto your shirt. And you're like, oh, that looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
You look like Wolchuk wearing his Korean barbecue all over himself.
That was amazing.
That's impressive.
That we got to go back to that place and see if
I think
he can
we're staying pretty close to it.
Yeah, and see if he can in fact keep like the sticky ribs off his
Ooh.
Shirt.
Challenge accepted.
Web redemption.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
The bully.
That sounds good to me. The honorable mentions are cake pops.
Cake
Ooh,
pops
are
pretty good.
They are
yep.
pretty good. Yeah.
Cake pops are good. Churros.
See, I don't think I've ever had a churro.
Okay, but they're not on
they're
a
not always
stick.
On a stick. Sometimes thought, they are
yeah,
on a stick.
It's
easier if they are on a stick. It's less messy on the hands.
That's fair. Usually I think I get it like it's like kind of in a like one of those
like
paper bag things.
Yeah. But it is easier if it's on a stick. And then like a shrimp skewer, honorable mention as well. Number 10 is cotton candy.
That's I
that's
could
for the kids, right?
I could do without that. Cotton candy.
I don't ever seek out
yeah,
cotton candy.
You're a grown man.
Yeah, you got about 3 bites with it as an adult, and you're like, man, this is goofy.
Why do I feel Great. Like? Yeah. Why do I feel like they've given up on the stick and put it in the bag?
You can't get it in a bag too.
I feel like that people are like, we're not putting it on the paper stick.
They're cheap.
We're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to put it in the bag, and you can buy it that
way. When you
way.
Have the actual cotton candy machine, and you get the stick
you
in
have
there,
to, yeah,
you twirl
and you
it around. That's
it.
Like the OG one.
Yeah,
right
it's
there.
Fun.
Number 9 is
thinking of Bloody Mary with all that stuff on a stick.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Yeah, that would be good too.
Yeah.
Dude, people are doing crazy stuff with those Bloody Marys.
I'll tell you
Marys.
What,
Holy
Bloody
crap.
Marys, you could put bacon on that thing. You could load that
shrimp.
Thing up. Yeah,
I mean, they're
you
doing
load
nuts
it up.
Things.
Yeah.
Fruit skewers, number 9.
Oh,
you could do some chocolate
skewer.
On there too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Number 8.
Chico stick.
Oh, a chicken stick?
No. Chico stick. You never heard of a Chico,
no,
stick?
A Chico stick?
Oh, yeah. It's an old school candy, bro.
I was say, is that yeah, the thing I think the, I have heard of that.
Is that like the pixie stick? Is that with the,
no.
the you, oh, you tear the paper
oh,
and do that?
No. No, it's like the, it's kind of it's peanut the, buttery. It's like the
oh.
inside of a,
oh, damn.
Yeah, like a nut bar of sorts.
What is that thing that Bart Simpson likes to eat all the time? What is this candy bar?
I can't
Come
help
on.
You.
I wish I had
It's like the orange. They're orange, so though.
Yeah.
Butterfinger?
Yeah, they're like Butterfingers. Kind of like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm into Butterfingers, man. These look really good.
Man.
I'll tell you what, I don't
That's
throw
weed.
Away butter.
That's
Butterfinger and Halloween. I'm kind of digging that.
I think it's a perfect Halloween candy because it's got the coloring and everything. Like that and Reese's, I think, are synonymous.
Grind that bad boy up and put it in
Absolutely.
Some ice cream.
8 would be like corn on a stick.
See, that's what I was thinking of. Like street corn on a stick.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
7 caramel apples.
Oh yeah, 469 texted in the candied That's, apples. They man. Are fire, dude. You almost—I mean, I can't even remember the last time I had one.
Too
they're
much.
Just—they're not accessible.
It's too much. It's hard to eat.
Yeah,
it's too hard to eat, and you get frustrated because you're biting into it, and you're
ridiculous all on the side of your face.
You're chipping
you
teeth.
It is messy.
It's very
you look
messy.
Stupid as an adult eating that.
Yeah, I agree.
You'd rather be caught
stupid,
eating cotton candy.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid. 7 or excuse me, 6 is marshmallows.
Oh,
so
like yeah.
roasted
like
marshmallows.
Roasted yeah. marshmallows.
Yeah. 5 is like skewered meat. You know, you can get like chicken, beef satay.
I was kind of thinking fondue.
That's good stuff. Ooh, fondue would be delicious.
That's, but it's you eat it off the skewer.
Yeah,
right?
That's stick. That's food on a stick.
Dude, I like the 314, the breakfast sausage dipped in the pancake batter. You know,
oh,
it's like a corn
yes.
dog, but it's like a
Whoa.
Breakfast corn dog.
It's like a Jimmy
like
Dean.
A, yeah,
like the Jimmy
yeah.
Dean thing,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Dipping that thing in syrup. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So good. 4 is fudge sickles.
That's what I was kind of thinking of.
Yeah, like an
Can't
ice cream
Can't go wrong. Yeah.
Three is popsicles.
I go fudge over pop.
Me yeah. too. Two is the kebabs.
Who's just called that?
The versatility of the kebab, too. Yeah. Like you say kebab, and it's like you could, that could be one of thousands of different
you,
things.
You can doll that thing up any way you want.
Put
you
your really own spin can. On.
Yeah. Yep.
But number one best food on a stick, according to America, is indeed the corn dog.
The corny dog, baby.
Damn right it is.
Shout out to Fletch.
Thank you very much, Willie Bully. Top 10.
I'll stand in line for those.
Oh, I will too. I will too. Although, don't do it at Texas OU. That one might not.
I've done it.
Might miss the whole game.
No, I'm serious. It's terrible.
I tried to get in that line, and it was like, I'm not waiting anymore. I got to get to my seats. Yeah. But hey, otherwise, always down for some Fletchers. All right, let's get to the football's finest, shall we?
Yeah. Have these questions been answered about the Cowboys' defense? That's next year in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.